Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting, and cometh from afar, not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. William Wordsworth. The Emotion Code, Chapter 3. Mysteries of the Ancient Energy Healers. In 1939, a Russian electrical technician named Semyon Kurlian discovered what is now known as Kurlian photography. Kurlian photography uses pulsed, high-voltage frequencies to take pictures of the radiating energy fields that surround all living things. The technique is also referred to as gas discharge visualization, or GDV. Russian scientists have performed a significant amount of research using Kurlian photography over the last 65 years and have found that all things exhibit the characteristics of an energy field, although living things have a much more vibrant energy field than inanimate objects. Perhaps the most striking Kurlian images are those of leaves which have been cut in half, yet still show the complete, intact energy fields of the whole leaves. Is it possible that these Kurlian images are actually revealing the inner, spiritual nature of things? The existence of the human energy field has been a basic tenet of the healing arts for a very long time. The Hindus understood the vital, life-giving force which permeates and gives life to all things to be prana, an understanding going back 5,000 years. The Chinese taught that this energy is called qi, and understood that if the qi is imbalanced within an individual, the result is poor health. Throughout history, as many as 97 diverse and separate cultures had a belief in the human energy field. Trapped emotions distort and block the flow of this energy, and the emotion code is one simple way to bring this energy back to a more balanced state. The Spirit and the Temple. I believe the human energy field is essentially the spirit that exists within each of us. I believe that if you could somehow magically pull your spirit out of your body and stand them alongside each other for comparison, the likeness would surprise you. Many of the near-death experiences that have been recorded reveal that people who have died have actually just left their bodies for a time. Sometimes they don't even realize that they have died until they look down and see their physical body lying there as they hover above it. Individuals such as these have come to know by their own experience that they are not their physical body. Instead, their body is more like a temple that houses their spirit self. I had an experience once that I will never forget, as it taught me the truth of this concept. When I was in practice, I regularly saw many patients with difficult and chronic conditions. I was in the habit of saying a short and silent prayer to God for guidance before each treatment, and I came to appreciate His help on many occasions when my own knowledge proved inadequate. One day, after uttering a silent prayer for help, I turned my attention to the patient lying on the table before me. At that moment, I was given a gift of understanding from above. I perceived that I was standing in the presence of a sacred temple, the temple of the body. I was filled with the deepest sense of awe and reverence. This inspired perception revealed the truth about the body on a much higher level of understanding than I'd ever had before. This spiritual experience changed how I see people. I've always had a lot of love and respect for mankind, but now I realize that the truth of our existence is more profound and sacred than we imagine. We truly are spiritual beings, having a physical experience here on this earth. How your thoughts affect others. Your thoughts originate from your spirit intelligence and can have a profound effect on those around you. Your thoughts are energy and are continually radiating from your body without limits. The energy of your thoughts and feelings exerts a subtle effect on other people as well as other forms of life. We are constantly making contact with others, whether we realize it or not, since all energy is continuous and connected. A patient named Linda came to me suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome. She expressed to me that the symptoms of her illness started after she began sharing a cubicle with a very negative woman at her office. This woman was constantly seething about one thing or another. Linda felt that this woman's negative energy had triggered the downward spiral of her health. Thoughts are things. Ancient healers had a profound understanding of the power of thought. In my seminars, I use a simple test to illustrate how thoughts can have a powerful effect on another person's mind and body, even at a distance. I have a volunteer stand at the front of the room with his back to the audience. I perform a quick baseline muscle test to make sure he is testable by having him say, "Love," and then pressing down gently but firmly on his outstretched arm. This should give a strong muscle response, and he should be able to resist my downward pressure without any trouble. Then I have him say, "Hate," and again I press down on his arm, which now is weakened, making him unable to resist. After making sure we are ready for the demonstration, I instruct the volunteer to keep his eyes closed and his mind clear. I make sure to keep my mind clear as well, so I won't interfere with the demonstration. I then instruct the audience that when I give the thumbs-up signal behind his back, they are to silently send positive thoughts to the volunteer, such as, "I love you," or "You are wonderful." I tell the audience that when I give the thumbs-down signal behind his back, they are to think negative thoughts about the volunteer, such as, "I hate you," or "You are disgusting." At my thumbs-up signal, the audience begins sending positive thoughts toward him, and I gently push down on his outstretched arm. I remain silent during the demonstration to illustrate to everyone in the audience that it is their thought energy alone that is creating the effect. Without exception, the subject's arm is always strong. Then I give the thumbs-down signal, and the audience begins sending negative thoughts to the volunteer. I press down on his arm again, but instead of being strong, his arm is invariably weak. Remember that during this process, he is not consciously aware of what signals I am giving the audience. He not only has his back to them, but my communication with the audience is non-vocal, my hand signals to them are given behind his back, and his eyes are closed. This simple test has given consistently reliable results during all my years of teaching seminars. It works because we are made of energy, and thoughts are energy too. When thought energy from others passes through your energetic being, there must always be an effect, either positive or negative. In this case, the audience's negative thoughts about the volunteer weaken him demonstrably. Their positive thoughts strengthen him. This fascinating yet simple test has some rather profound implications. Of course, your own thoughts will have the most drastic and immediate effect on the state of your own energy field. Shifting your thinking from positive to negative will immediately shift your vibrational energy from positive to negative. This will inevitably produce negative results, the most obvious and immediate of which is a generalized weakening of the body. You might imagine how negative thoughts have a weakening effect on your body's organs and tissues, and how continuing in this state might be dangerous to your health and well-being. Your subconscious mind is aware of negative thoughts that might be harming you, whether they are your own thoughts or not. Often your conscious mind is slow to detect negative energies if you cannot see proof of them, like facial expressions, body language, or verbal communication. This proof is what you have been taught to look for since you were a little child. I think we have all been somewhat desensitized, and so most of us are unable to consciously detect energy that we cannot see. We have been bombarded with information since the day we were born about what the world is supposed to be like. We are fed perspectives, opinions, prejudices, traditions, theories, facts, and doctrines. We hope that what we have learned is based in truth. We go to school to learn the facts about nature, science, and the history of the world. By the time we reach adulthood, our ideas about the world are essentially in place. When new information comes along, it is only natural that our minds are slow to accept and understand things that don't fit with previously learned information. It might be hard to accept if the new information requires us to make some changes in our thinking, especially if it goes against what we've been taught. The nature of things. Most of us never learn that everything around us is made of energy, vibrating at different levels, making things look different, taste different, smell different, and feel different. We live in what I like to call a Lego universe. In case you have been living in a cave or perhaps have no experience with children, Legos are little plastic building blocks that come in various colors, shapes, and sizes. Anyone who has been to a Legoland theme park can tell you that these little plastic building blocks can be used to build anything from elephants to skyscrapers. Our universe is also made of little building blocks called subatomic particles. They're actually not particles at all, but you can think of them as infinitesimally small units of vibrating energy. If you put enough of these little energies together, you have an atom. Like Legos, Differing arrangements of these little energies will produce atoms of different elements, such as hydrogen, carbon, titanium, and so on. Again, like Legos, various atoms can be arranged to make molecules that we call proteins, fats, carbohydrates, and so on. Ultimately, all the things we see around us, and literally everything that exists, whether plant, animal, mineral, gas, liquid, solid, or anything else, is made of these little building blocks, and they are made of energy. The mysterious quantum world. Subatomic particles are not really particles. They are instead a quantum, or a quantity of something that is quite indefinable. Quantum physics, or the study of these smallest units of energy, was started by Albert Einstein and his contemporaries. These brilliant scientists devised some very ingenious experiments in an attempt to discover more about the nature of these energies. One of the most startling aspects of quantum research reveals that these energies behave in different ways depending on what the observer is expecting to see. Many physicists believe that the only explanation for these mysterious behaviors is that the energies within the atom are themselves intelligent to some small degree. In one famous experiment, scientists split an atom, sending two of its particles, or energies, traveling in different directions at nearly the speed of light. After the particles had journeyed a certain distance in different directions, one of the particles passed through a powerful magnetic field, which changed its direction of travel. At the same instant, its sister particle changed direction too, at precisely the same angle. Though a considerable distance separated them, the two particles were still mysteriously connected. What happened to one instantly affected the other, with no regard to distance or separation. How do you think this could be? How could these little energies perform such a feat of apparently instantaneous communication if they were so far apart? No one really knows for certain, at least not yet. However, quantum physics has shown this phenomenon over and over again. Making a change in one particle will cause an instantaneous and equivalent change in a connected particle, no matter how far away it is. It appears that distance is no barrier to the connectedness of their energy. Remember, everything is connected to everything else. Remembering the kamikazes. This inexplicable phenomenon is not restricted to the behavior of individual subatomic particles, however. This strange connectedness has been shown to occur in the cells in the human body. In one well-known study, white blood cells were taken from a subject and placed in a petri dish. White blood cells are responsible for seeking out and destroying foreign bacteria, toxins, and other invaders. The subject was hooked up to electrodes to measure the electrical activity of his body. His white blood cells were also placed in a highly sensitive device that was able to measure their electrical activity. Exact measurements were taken of the electrical activity level of both the patient and his white cells. One of the men in the study had served in the Navy during World War II on an aircraft carrier stationed in the Pacific. While he was there, Japanese kamikaze suicide pilots had attacked. The man was terrified, and more than once he was sure he was going to die. After he was hooked up to the electrodes, he was shown newsreel footage of kamikaze pilots diving and attacking aircraft carriers during the war. While it was a long-ago event, his body had not forgotten it. The sudden acute anxiety that he felt showed immediately on the readout from the electrodes on his body. This comes as no real surprise, but the researchers were amazed to see that his white blood cells on the other side of the room showed exactly the same burst on the readout. Both readouts were essentially identical. The electrical currents of the cells were suddenly just as erratic as the currents in his body. They turned off the projector, and the electrical activity in both the man and his blood cells across the room returned to normal. The scientists could hardly believe it. They repeated the test a number of times, with similar results each time. Just to see what would happen, the test was repeated again, but the distance between the patient and his white blood cells was increased. In fact, the measuring device containing the still-living white blood cells was driven to another laboratory a number of miles away, and the test was repeated. Keeping precise records of the times and electrical activities of the man in the room in his cells several miles away, they repeated the experiment again and again. The man was shown the kamikaze clips, then allowed to relax. Then he was shown the newsreels again and allowed to relax. The electrical activity on the man's readouts and those of his living blood cells several miles away matched every time. The results of this test went against everything these scientists had been taught. Ask anyone whether a man who gets upset watching a movie can make his blood cells act upset many miles away, and you'll probably be laughed at. It sounds impossible, yet it really happened. The Intelligent Universe. Other things even more amazing than this have happened as well. They seem absolutely miraculous because we don't understand them. In fact, we are just now beginning to understand the mysterious nature of energy, how it works, and how it can be harnessed. I believe that one of the greatest secrets of the universe is just now beginning to be unveiled. This great secret has to do with the modern discovery of the intelligent nature of subatomic particles, or the intelligent nature of energy. Imagine for a moment that what quantum physicists are saying is actually true. Imagine for a moment that the universe in which we live is entirely made of energies that are themselves somehow intelligent. Think about this. The chair you are sitting in right now is made of energy. That energy is intelligent. Your chair can't think, but on some level, your chair is composed of countless little energies that are doing precisely what they are supposed to do to keep your chair in one piece, helping to make your experience in this world what it is. Max Planck, one of the greatest minds of the 20th century, considered the father of quantum theory, made the following statement when he was awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics. As a man who has devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter, I can tell you as a result of my research about atoms this much. There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter. The power of intention. Your intention is really just another form of energy. I like to think of it as a directed form of thought energy. Because energy is intelligent, it actually has the ability to obey or cooperate with your intention. Ancient healers demonstrated an understanding of this concept that the universe is filled with and made of intelligent energy which is able to respond to intention. Jesus Christ is still known as the greatest healer of all time, as he routinely healed the blind and crippled and even raised the dead. His first miracle, though not about healing, dramatically demonstrates the concept of intelligent energy. Jesus was with his disciples at a wedding where the host ran out of wine, a terrible faux pas in those days. Jesus directed the servants to fill some large vessels with water, which he then turned to wine to the astonishment of all those present. I believe that Jesus simply told the water to become wine, and it simply obeyed his word. But I believe it worked because the water itself was intelligent and therefore able to obey Christ's command. Feel like walking on water? Another example from the Bible is a story involving the Apostle Peter. Jesus had sent his apostles to cross the sea while he went up on a mountain to pray. The apostles were on their ship in the midst of a stormy sea when in the early hours of the morning they saw a figure walking toward them on the water. The apostles were terrified and thought it was a ghost. When they realized it was their master, Peter cried out to him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began walking on the water toward Jesus. He was walking on water, but when he looked around and realized how unnatural it was to be doing what he was doing and how bad the storm was, he began to fear and immediately started to sink. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached out and caught him. Jesus said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter started out with faith, the belief that he could walk on water. His faith and intention were so powerful that he was actually able to do it. The intelligences of the water simply responded to his belief, to his intention, in a very immediate way, and the normal state of things instantly changed to support his intention. The moment Peter began to fear, his clear intention and faith in his own ability to walk on water began to diminish. As his faith diminished, his clear intention vanished, and he began to sink because the universe had to respond to his new state of mind. You see, Peter began to sink because he began to doubt, to fear. Doubt and fear are the opposites of faith, and they cannot coexist. The universe supports your beliefs about yourself, too. If you think you can't, the universe will support that belief, and you will not succeed. On the other hand, if you think you can, the universe will support that belief, and you will be empowered. Walking on air. About 2 months after the death of my father, I had a very unusual dream. It was profound to me, and I took it as a message from God. I dreamed that I was walking down a hallway in a university or a college. The hallway was filled with busy people on their own errands. There were people all around me, but there was something very unusual happening to me. I was literally walking on air, about an inch off the floor. The feeling was absolutely incredible. I tried walking faster, then slower, to see if it would change my altitude. It didn't change. I was still walking about an inch off the floor, and the feeling was indescribable. No one around me seemed to notice this, as they were intent on what they were doing. I thought to myself, if I can walk an inch off the ground, I'll bet I can walk a foot off the ground. As soon as I thought this, it was done. I was walking a foot off the ground. I looked behind me at that point and saw a group of small children whose eyes were fastened upon me. They were also walking a foot off the ground, just like me, although no one else seemed to notice what was happening. I continued walking and found I could gain altitude as I desired, and before long, my head was nearly touching the ceiling. At this point, I noticed that everyone had stopped what they were doing and had turned their faces up toward me. They were questioning me, saying, "How are you doing that? How can you possibly be doing what you're doing?" The answer I gave them was a message from God to me, and now is a message from God to you. I said to them, "It's easy. All you have to do is believe you can do it, and be grateful to God that you are doing it." Then I looked further down the hallway and saw several large glass doors that led outside. There were beautiful green rolling hills, more campus buildings, and a vast open sky. I thought to myself, when I get beyond those doors, I will be able to fly. It was at that moment I awakened. Still in a dreamlike state, I realized clearly what the dream meant. The fact that I could walk on air meant that I could do whatever I believed I could do, as long as I was grateful to God that I was doing it. The children symbolized the simple, pure faith of minds unfettered by a lifetime of learned limitations. The doors had a dual meaning. They symbolized the limits that we place on ourselves in this mortal life, and they also symbolized death. Part of the message was that my father was beyond those doors and that he could fly, with no earthly limits to his abilities. If we express this dream in the form of a mathematical equation, it would sound like this. Your belief that you can do it, plus your gratitude to God that you are doing it, equals the results you want to obtain. Would we ever begin anything if we did not believe we could do it? No. Belief is essential to all we do and is the necessary first step. Gratitude is an essential part of this equation, and I can't overemphasize the importance of the word doing. In other words, your gratitude to God that you are doing it is significant because it is to God that we owe everything that we have and are, and it is to Him that we owe every opportunity that lies in our path. If you have a goal that you want to achieve, imagine how grateful you would feel if you had already achieved it. If you can feel it and expect that it will be, it will be. As you learn to cultivate gratitude to God for what you already have, your faith and belief will increase, for you will draw yourself closer to that very source of power from which all things flow. You will soon find yourself doing the very thing that was once only a dream. When your heart is full of gratitude, do you think it is possible to feel doubt or fear? I don't think so. To be a healer, you must not entertain thoughts of doubt. You must leave your fears behind. Your heart must be filled with love and gratitude. Try this with the emotion code. It's easy. All you have to do is believe and be grateful, and you will be able to do it. I mean this very literally. Messages from water. A Japanese scientist, Masaru Emoto, has made a wonderful contribution to our understanding of the energetic world around us. His book, entitled The Hidden Messages in Water, details Mr. Emoto's research into the crystalline structure of water. Mr. Emoto and his colleagues found that water droplets would form widely different crystalline patterns or snowflakes after being exposed to different kinds of music and then frozen. Exposure to acid rock music, for example, would result in a very disrupted crystal, while a Mozart symphony would result in a beautifully formed crystal. Taking their research further showed that by writing different words or phrases onto a piece of paper, and then taping the paper to a vial of water and leaving it overnight, different crystalline structures would result. The phrase, "I love you," would invariably result in a symmetrical, well-shaped, and beautiful ice crystal, while the phrase, "I hate you," would result in a very asymmetrical and disrupted crystal. The most intensely beautiful ice crystals of all were formed when water was exposed overnight to the phrase, "love and gratitude." Remember that your body is over 70% water. Can you see how important it is to maintain thoughts of positivity instead of negativity? Imagine how your life would be if you filled yourself with thoughts of love and gratitude on a continual basis. Imagine how people would be drawn to you. Imagine what your life could be like. I believe this is how our lives are actually intended to be. I have read many experiences written by people who died and went to the other side, temporarily. I have noticed that in their near-death experiences, these people were never asked what kind of car they drove on Earth or how big their bank account was. Instead, they are very often asked, "How much love were you able to develop for your fellow beings? And how much knowledge were you able to gain on Earth?" Life is about having joy. It's about increasing our ability to give and receive love, and it's about gaining all the knowledge we can. It's also about serving others, feeling grateful for all we have, and learning to create the life we want. Trapped emotions make it more difficult for us to experience these joys and tend to short-circuit us both physically and emotionally. The human energy field. A few decades ago, scientific thought denied the existence of any sort of human energy field. Since that time, scientists have completely changed their minds. They now know with absolute certainty that an energy field exists. As new technology has come along, they've been able to test it and find out for certain. For example, one device, called the SQUID magnetometer, can detect the tiny magnetic fields created by the biochemical and physiological activities of the body. Using this device, scientists have learned that all of the tissues and organs in the body produce specific magnetic vibrations. They call them biomagnetic fields. This is fairly new information, not widespread knowledge yet. Although not all medical doctors are aware of this, it has been determined that the biomagnetic fields in the space around the body give a more accurate reading of a patient's health than traditional electrical measurements like EEGs and EKGs. In fact, scientists now know that the heart's electromagnetic field is so powerful that you can take an accurate EKG reading 3 feet away from the body. The reading can be taken from any point on the body and any point in the electromagnetic field because the field itself contains the information in a three-dimensional or holographic way. Today's doctors know what they were taught by their professors, who learned from their professors before them, and so on. Western medicine is empirical. It's based on observation. If something can't be observed, it can't be verified. If it can't be verified, then it isn't true. Despite its drawbacks, doctors who follow the model of Western medicine have often been behind some of the most brilliant medical advances in history. They excel at developing important methods of precision testing, breakthrough surgical procedures, and advanced technology. This model has tremendous assets, but it has its disadvantages as well. As far back as the 1940s, Dr. Harold Saxon Burr, a distinguished medical researcher at Yale, insisted that pathology could be detected in the energy field of the body long before physical symptoms began to emerge. Although he didn't have the skills or techniques to do it himself, Burr proposed that diseases could be prevented by adjusting or manipulating the energy field. His medical colleagues thought his ideas seemed unlikely and far-fetched, probably because they were not taught that this could be a possibility when they were in medical school. The importance of the energy field is still not taken into account in traditional Western medical practices, and thus the patient often suffers needlessly due to lack of proper attention to the underlying causes of their illness. Recently, however, many non-traditional healing practices have gone from being ridiculed to being respected. This is partially because technology has improved and scientists have been able to test more accurately, and partially because these alternative healing methods actually do work. Now, mainstream science is even beginning to acknowledge the existence of the energy meridians used by ancient Chinese medical doctors for thousands of years. Acupuncture in particular is being recognized for its energetic healing power, even if it is not fully understood by the medical community. Chiropractic adjustments, which remove nerve interference, are also being proven in clinical trials to have long-lasting and significant benefits, something that chiropractic doctors and patients have known for over 100 years. Abundant evidence exists to prove that the human body is an energetic, vibrant, emotional, and spiritual entity. The old mechanistic approach proves to be more and more limited and simplistic as we learn about the nature of energy and of the universe and how everything is in constant communication with everything else. As Simon Mitchell points out in his book, Don't Get Cancer, a philosophy of medicine that is over-reliant on logic and limited mainly to drugs and surgery is fundamentally flawed. Acts of logic always rely on analysis, that is, breaking down a whole into its constituent parts and examining each minutely. Reductionist approaches fail to see the connectivity and relatedness of all things. As a result, this philosophy is offering us cures which are often as dangerous and destructive as the disease itself. Today we are at a turning point in medical history, with the discoveries of quantum physics and molecular biology proving that everything is energy and that it is all related, a door has been opened. Scientific research is constantly being conducted and continues to confirm over and over again that we are beings of energy and that there is an intelligent force at work in the universe. Research will continue to push back the boundaries on what we know about the human energy field. As it does so, I am convinced that the energetic basis of human thought will become more clearly understood, and that the phenomenon of trapped emotions will eventually be recognized by the scientific community for the damage they cause. As technology continues to advance, scientists and doctors will inevitably realize how important it is to keep the body in a state of balance. The magnetic and energetic healing techniques that alternative practitioners already use will hopefully be integrated into conventional medicine to provide the best, most thorough, and most gentle healing. There is much to be learned by studying the energy of the human body, and we are the ones to gain from it. Remember that not so long ago, scientists didn't recognize that the human body had an energy field, much less that our very health depended on it. All methods of healing are valid and have their place. In the future, I see a world where the best of all possible approaches will combine to the benefit of mankind. Quick fixes. I saw firsthand during my years in practice that the body has a built-in ability to heal itself, another evidence of the body's innate intelligence. The body sometimes needs help to restore itself to a state of balance. This help may consist of removing trapped emotions, detoxification, receiving chiropractic adjustments and proper nutrition, and more. Healing is a process, and it takes time. But waiting for the body to heal itself naturally can try our patience. We usually want a quick fix. We don't want to wait. We want it now. We are conditioned by endless advertising to think that if we take a pill, our problem will be solved. While some prescription medications do address the cause of illness, most only cover up the symptoms. They usually do such a wonderful job at masking our symptoms that we may think our problem is gone when it is merely being chemically suppressed. Remember that symptoms are the body's way of telling you that something is wrong. They are a warning signal that you need to change something or that your body needs some help. Masking symptoms with medications can be a bit like putting a piece of duct tape over that annoying oil light in your car that turned on recently. You may cover it up for a while, but eventually your car will stop running. The pharmaceutical companies would have you believe that the best way to get well is to take their products. For example, heavy advertising in the media helped to create a tremendous market for antidepressants. While they have helped some people, like all drugs, they have side effects. In fact, listen to this excerpt from an official FDA press release dated October 14, 2004. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, today issued a public health advisory announcing a multi-pronged strategy to warn the public about the increased risk of suicidal thoughts and behavior, suicidality, in children and adolescents being treated with antidepressant medications. Listen to this testimonial from a former patient of mine who was suffering from severe depression. I had gotten to the point where I was exceedingly suicidal. Every day I would wake up and have to decide, do I live or die today? I was stuck because part of my belief system was that my life was not mine to take. That had been a mantra already for several years, and yet I no longer wanted to live. And I happened to show up at one of Dr. Nelson's seminars where he talks about emotions. And at that time, he didn't talk about them a whole lot, and I spoke to him after he was finished speaking and said, "You mentioned the emotions, but you didn't do anything or talk about it. I need help. I don't want to live, yet I know that there are some people in this life who are happy, and there are people in this life who are functioning very well. I'm not, and I want to be. Can you do something?" And in that moment, he cleared something regarding my lack of joy, and I could literally feel, in the moment that he did that, all of this energy coming back to me. I actually did not sleep almost the whole night. I was so pumped and so energized after that. Since then, we have done a lot of work, mostly in the clearing of trapped emotions, and other work as well, but this emotional work is so powerful and so key. I am a different person than I was a year and a half ago. I no longer have the panic attacks. I no longer have the night terrors I used to have. I'm a different person. I'm alive, I embrace life, and I love life. Thanks. Karen B. If we have pain, we may need pain medication to be able to deal with it. I'm grateful we have it, and as I said before, all healing approaches are valid. Medications can be perfectly appropriate in the short term as they work to relieve symptoms, but they sometimes do more harm than good. Witness the following article from USA Today, dated December 20th, 2006. Non-prescription pain relievers used by millions of U.S. consumers need stronger health warnings regarding liver or stomach risk, the Food and Drug Administration said Tuesday. The drugs include some of the most commonly taken in the USA, aspirin, ibuprofen, and acetaminophen, and will affect such household brands as Motrin, Advil, Aleve, and Tylenol. The FDA proposes that products with acetaminophen, such as Tylenol, include warnings for liver toxicity, particularly when used in high doses with other acetaminophen products or with three or more drinks of alcohol a day. Over-the-counter NSAIDs, short for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, include warnings for stomach bleeding in people over 60, those who have had ulcers, take a blood thinner, or more than one NSAID, or those who take them with alcohol or longer than directed. Attention focused on their risks in 2004 when prescription NSAID Vioxx was withdrawn because of heart attack and stroke risk. Last year, the FDA sought a warning on prescription NSAID Celebrex for cardiovascular and stomach risks. An FDA advisory panel in 2002 said over-the-counter NSAIDs should have stronger warnings about stomach bleeding. Here is another testimonial from a former patient who suffered from chronic back pain for 4 years after falling two stories onto a boulder and breaking her back. "I consulted Dr. Nelson because I had broken my back a few years back and had never gotten over the pain despite several types of physical therapy and exercise programs. During my first adjustment, I realized that Dr. Nelson was a true healer. I could just feel it. Almost all of my adjustments included emotional releases from energy blockages in my body. Unresolved traumatic events live in the energy system of the body and cause blockages in the energy flow. At first, I did not notice any change, but gradually my pain began to decrease. With Dr. Nelson's help, I discovered that emotions very deep within me were causing the majority of my pain. My body had so much pain stored inside from so very long ago, and Dr. Nelson was able to talk to my body to help me release it. What a remarkable process to experience each appointment's release and the corresponding decrease in pain. Today, for the first time in 4 years, I am able to work part-time, but most important of all, I feel a great healing in my physical and emotional body and have learned the invaluable fact of how these two are so integrally related. Thank you, Dr. Nelson. In love and light, Linda P. Getting to the cause. If the essential cause of your illness is not dealt with, you will have the illness until your body is able to heal itself. I have seen many cases where the patient was on medication for their problem for years, and as soon as they went off the medication, their problem came back full swing because the underlying cause was still creating the illness. The underlying cause must be reversed or your problem will not go away and you must either remain in pain or on drugs forever. Most of us never learned that we could access the energy of our bodies to learn what is wrong and how to fix it. But we live in a remarkable time when knowledge of all the ages is being poured out upon mankind beyond measure. Ancient healing philosophies were full of truth and deep insights into our energetic nature, and the validity of these approaches is now being recognized once again. Magnets are one of the most ancient healing modalities on Earth and are an integral part of the emotion code. Find out why in the next chapter.